All right, today we're going to cover how many times a week should you be doing weight training, how many times a week should you be doing cardio, what types of cardio should y'all be focusing on depending on the goal, depending on what type of training program you have, depending on lifestyle as well. So we're going to kind of get into a full kind of handful of things here. This actually started with a question of mine, personal training client of mine, Shyla. So shout out to you for the good question of basically talking about like her aerobic training plan and how many times a week she should be doing it on top of her 2 to 3, you know, sessions that we have together ourselves. And more importantly, like, what are the type of aerobic stuff should I be doing, right? Because a lot of people think about like, okay, well, there's steady state cardio. And then even within inside of that, what type of zone are you in? Zone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's HIIT. There's fasted cardio. Should I be doing it before exercise or after exercise if I'm already at the gym doing weights? Then the question kind of continues to unfold of like, how many times a week, if I'm doing weight training, should I be supplementing, you know, the cardio stuff? And there's so much context to this, obviously, because it's, once again, it's always dependent on goal, right? So anytime I go to write a program for somebody or give you guys any suggestions, you have to first currently look at where you are now. B, you then have to look at is what is the target goal? What's the objective? What's the direction that we're trying to head and why? Because that's obviously going to be the easiest way to kind of shape what you're doing, right? But then there's also things that can kind of run parallel with every program, right? So when you think about cardio, just to jump right into for kind of the different types, there's slow movement cardio, which would be like zone 1, zone 2. So this could be like walking, light jogging for people, easy bike, easy swim. Things that you, when you think about, to talk about the zones real quick, zone 1 is 50 to 60% of your max fire rate. Zone 2 is 60 to 70. Zone 3 is 70 to 80. Zone 4 is 80 to 90. And zone 5 is 90 to 100, right? If you were to talk to a running coach, most of the time, they like to reference the zone 3 kind of being like the gray area. Zone 4, zone 5 tend to be what we call more threshold work. This is more anaerobic. And then zone 1 and zone 2 tend to be more aerobic training, right? So when you think about, I'm kind of using my hands here, which I always tend to do. If I were to think about the bottom of the pyramid being kind of the thing that should always be there, no matter what your goal or what you're doing is, slow movement should be a part of that, right? And that's zone 1, zone 2 for the most part, right? These are things that you can do and still have a conversation. These are things that you can do and hopefully be able to still breathe through your nasal the entire time and you're like nose breathing. Those are kind of the two things that I always like to use to kind of have subjective measurement against yourself. If you want something objectively to measure yourself, obviously having a heart rate tracker like, you know, the Polar or the Whoop or Aura or Apple Watch. I mean, whatever, you know, technology you're using, it doesn't matter. They all do it. Tracking max heart rate, if you were to just do the very elementary version, the 220 minus your age, and that's kind of how most people would do it, but there's obviously a few handful of equations that go into it. And it's just like tracking anything else, to be honest with you. If you're dependent on the technology, you're probably going to lose a little bit of becoming intuitive with how you feel and subjectively kind of measuring yourself against that. So to give you guys a really easy kind of way to take home for this, zone 1, zone 2, which is something you should have in the program every single day, which is basically low level, light cardio, light movement. Ideally, like I said, and I've said this multiple times, walking is the most underrated thing, I think, when it comes to exercise, when it comes to mental health, digestive, blood sugar mitigation, stress management even. I mean, it's the best tool for health, right? So everyone should be walking more. An easy way for me to kind of give you guys a starting point for all this is I like to think about cardio and your walks. An easy way to go about it is after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, take a 10-minute walk, right? It's an easy way for you to get 30 minutes of exercise in without it being overwhelming, without it being, you know, 1 hour cut out of your day for a continuous, straightforward, an hour walk. Because a lot of people, the reason why walking so hard or just movement in general is just because your job, right? Your job, you know, especially now more than ever with everybody working from home, it kind of keeps you inside of the house. Like I see this with my girlfriend all the time. Like even if she is working out or she does get the chance to ride the Peloton, it still involves her sitting down, right? Like ideally for her, if I had the dream situation, is like every hour or two, if you can take a walk, right? Or if you are on a call, or if you're on a video call that doesn't require you being on video, or you have the opportunity to take these things while walking, it is going to be a game changer for your health, right? So that's kind of like the foundation to the program, right? Is always have some low-level movement involved. And it doesn't necessarily always need to be walks either, right? This could be you being standing behind the desk and doing 10 bodyweight squats every once in a while, or doing a push-up, or going into half-kneeling. like, the more you can actually globally kind of chase movement, because, like, the cool thing about walking is it gets you into a hip extension, opens up the ankles and knees a little bit, gets you to breathe. It's a very kind of straightforward thing when you think about gait assessment, but also from a fundamental kind of just functionality of getting your hips and your body to move, walking does go through a lot of these patterns, but it doesn't get the arms overhead. It doesn't get the hips into extreme levels of flexion extension. So it doesn't really necessarily get you to like end ranges of anything, probably besides hip extension and knee extension. Other than that, there's still other joints and muscles that could move more. So those are the things that just think about incorporating them into the day, because that needs to be a foundational 7 days a week. So even the days where I take training off or I take cardio off, I'm still trying to move as much as possible. I'll give you an example. Our last three Sundays, we tend to go to the brewery on Sunday. We like to walk Kona down to the Prune Yard, and it's probably a 20 to 30 minute walk. And we'll walk down there. We don't ride the bikes all the time. We try not to drive as much as we can. We try to walk or bike. Trying to make some of those foundational changes into your routine, like I said, is actually probably going to be the lowest hanging fruit that will provide you a lot of return on the investment. So taking the stairs, parking the car a little farther, not taking the car at all, riding the bike to a restaurant, riding the bike to work, walking around places, taking walks on your breaks, taking walks after your meals. These are things that should just be built into the program, right? Second thing that I like to kind of stack on top, which I think is kind of what should be the essential part, is weight training and kind of resistance training inside of the gym. Obviously, I'm going to be very biased. I'm going to tell you functional lifestyle training program is going to be the most ideal for everybody, every single person in the world. And that's just because out of 14 years, that's what I've shaped to be what I think is the best. And that's just my general opinion, and that's why it's my bias. But no matter what, if you're doing functional lifestyles or not, I think having resistance training as part of the kind of second tier of foundational work to training is going to be ideal. And no matter, even if you are someone that actually is a runner or a triathlete or an endurance athlete, it's still something you should have in the routine a minimum of twice a week and probably upwards of maybe four times a week, depending on where you're at in your season, depending on where you're at in your sport, right? And the reason why is it's from a joint health, from a bone density standpoint, from a postural standpoint, from a strength standpoint, from a metabolic standpoint, you get a lot more from resistance training than you do with just pure aerobic training. And this is why aerobic athletes, I still suggest that they keep that as part of the kind of foundational work and maybe make it even more of a priority during your off-season work. And obviously when you're in season, you're going to be doing more of the endurance work, and that's totally fine. But really trying to keep it as well balanced as possible, right? So thinking about body weight training, thinking about weight training, ideally doing a little bit more free weights than maybe machines, but incorporating machines or cables, dumbbells, kettlebells, doing as much single leg and single arm unilateral training as possible, thinking about the body three-dimensionally, so doing rotational work, doing lateral work, doing forward, backwards, up and down work, thinking about the patterns more functionally, so your body squats, it lunges, it hinges, it pushes, it pulls, it twists, and it has obviously gait from walking and running and jogging. The more well-rounded the program could be, for general population, I think the better from a longevity standpoint and as a sustainability standpoint. And the reason why is, like, longevity, you want to be very multidimensional, right? You don't want to just be like, hey, I'm really, really good at running and I'm shit at everything else, right? Because then you're going to start to become weak in these certain areas. And when you think about the body from a more functional approach, you are just the kind of as strong as the weakest link in the chain, right? If you're someone that has a specific sport or a specific event that you're training for, ideally, obviously, you're going to train for things that are more specific to that movement pattern or that sport or that skill. So that's obviously something that maybe should change your approach on resistance training. But no matter what, like I said, I think second to just basic low-level movement, resistance training should be kind of priority number two. Then from there, stacking, I think this can kind of go in between what we would say is like skill work and also anaerobic work, right? And the reason why we think about anaerobic work being the kind of hand-in-hand next to these two things, this would be things like sprinting. This would be things like HIIT work, so high-intensity interval training. Skill work could be something that is interchangeable between those two, I guess would be the better way to say it, right? And to be honest with you, like, if I think about sprinting versus something like going on a walk, there are two different modalities. Even though it's the same pattern of motion, one requires a high level of skill to be able to kind of perform that correctly. And the fact that it has so much more intensity than something like going on a walk, it requires you having that fundamentally first. Like, you should have a foundation of understanding how the proper gait mechanics work and how your body should be running. So I like to kind of think about anaerobic and skill sometimes being interchangeable. But obviously it's not required, right? Like I can go on an Airdyne bike and give you 20 seconds of max effort work with a 2 minute rest, and that requires no skill besides effort. I don't think this should be something that should be done every day. This is one thing that I realized in CrossFit, that we were killing and burning out so many people is we were doing high level, high intense Metcons all the time. And why I think this is detrimental to long-term success and even fat loss for some people is it's a very stressful response, right? Going on an hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour walk or moving and being on your feet all day is not stressful to the body, right? It's aerobic work. It's still very, very good for you. But going on a 20-minute workout and doing only sprints, that is really, really depleting the body. It's two different energy sources, right? So when you think about kind of more of the oxidative system, like just to kind of make this really easier to understand, the aerobic system, when you think about fat loss, we have to remember this. Fat can only be burned when there's a presence of oxygen there. So that's why low-level stuff should be the foundation to all of that. But that being said, sprinting or resistance training might have what we call maybe, like a lot of people like to use the term afterburn, which basically means that you're just like, as you build muscle, your body becomes more metabolic. So your body's burning more calories at rest. So it tends to be more effective and efficient for long-term success of also keeping fat off. But coming back to kind of the CrossFit story, the Metcons and sprints and like very high intense stuff, it's a different energy system, so it's more glycolytic, meaning your body, it burns a lot faster. Like you're just burning carbs for that fuel or that energy source for that exercise, versus like walking, your body can tap into more fat burning almost in a sense, right? Maybe you're not going to burn as many calories, but you'll be more efficient with the calories that you're burning coming from fat. So that's always the kind of the nuance between those two. A lot of people think like, oh, HIIT's more effective because it's going to burn more calories, or sprinting is more effective because it's going to burn more calories. But cardio is more effective for burning fat. Well, the thing is like, yes, it's more effective, but it's a higher percentage of a smaller number, versus it being vice versa on the other side, right? But like I said, it's kind of like training one rep max or three rep max or five rep max and training at max intensity all the time. You're going to break down the body faster. You're not going to have as much success in the long run with things. So I think that's when you think about HIIT training, when you think about sprinting, when you think about anaerobic work, right, like these very high level kind of energy systems, zone four and zone five, they should be done 1, 2, maybe 3 times a week. I don't think they should be done even or anything over 4 times a week. It's just too much. You should make the foundation zone one, zone two kind of light level aerobic work. You should then add resistance training on top of that. And even your resistance training, there's obviously a whole nother podcast I can make on that. On making sure that you're slowly progressively overloading, but you're not training to failure every time. You're not training, you know, sub max or maximal threshold work, even in the gym. Like it needs to be smart. A lot of people, unfortunately, do not have the patience required to be successful in the long term. And that's why they chase these kind of 6 week challenges and they chase these kind of fast results. And this is why they start over every single year or multiple times a year, right? Play the long game when it comes to the success of this, right? So that skill work and that anaerobic work, let that be kind of at the top of the pyramid, right? Let that be something that, you know, you integrate into the system no matter what. Like if I'm a football player or I'm an athlete or I'm someone that needs these kind of sub-maximal or threshold type of training into the system for my sport or for my skill, you definitely need to have it there. You just need to make sure where are you at in the season evaluating that, what foundationally are you doing underneath that, and just properly be smart about programming it. I think for general population, 1 to 3 times a week is plenty, right? I'd rather you keep the emphasis more on moving daily. I'd rather you keep the emphasis on doing, you know, just low level aerobic, zone one, zone two, so 50 to 70% of your heart rate, max heart rate, I'm sorry. Zone three is kind of like the reason why my running coach used to call it the gray area. It's like you're kind of getting in and out of different energy systems. So it tends to just be a little bit more effective to kind of like hang out in zone one and zone two and do that majority of the time and do your threshold or sub threshold or anaerobic work, supplemental to everything else, right? So that would be kind of the three phases when I think about training. And just, I didn't really want to go down the mobility rabbit hole, but if I were to add that to the foundation of a low level work, mobility would obviously be a part of that as well. I just didn't want to get kind of too confusing by adding too many different modalities. So just to focus on kind of training aerobically and strength training, those should be things that are a part of it, right? Is have as much like low level movement, have as much body weight training as possible, have as much mobility stuff as possible. Make that the foundation. Foundation number two should be resistance training with weights. And then the top of the tier is going to be stuff that we would think about would be like your hit, your sprinting, your skill work. Those are going to be things that should be applied carefully, would be the best way to say that, right? All right, guys, well, I don't want to make this too long, as always. And as usual, if you guys have anything for me to talk about, I appreciate Charlie giving me something and an idea here. It makes it really easy for me, and also it's better for you guys because it's a question that you have. So if you guys have any things that you would love to talk about, shoot it on the DM at Functional Lifestyles and say, hey, I would love to learn more about X. It's a great opportunity for me to learn a little bit more about it. It's a great opportunity for you guys to learn and me to present it to you. And as always, have a great weekend if you're listening on this Friday. If not, have a great day. Talk to you next week.